The guy who's going to get paid or wants to get paid within 3 days is Russell Wilson, quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. To talk about that and more, we have Jake Heaps on the line. Jake, always a pleasure chatting NFL with you. How are you today, sir?
Great. How are you guys?
We're doing great. I mean, you know, NHL playoffs are ongoing. You know, we have NFL draft season, Russell Wilson's contract situation, and I'm sure where you work on 710 ESPN in Seattle, this Russell Wilson story is gaining more and more traction. Ultimately, do you believe they'll be able to sign him to a contract here in the next 3 days?
Everything that I know of what's going on with contract negotiations on both sides of it, I have not heard that there's been a whole lot of traction going on with contract discussions. And so that to me is obviously alarming when you're a franchise quarterback, the top five quarterback in the National Football League, and your organization not only are not coming to an agreement on a contract or, you know, close to an agreement on a contract discussion, but the lack of communication between the two sides, that's a big deal. And so from what I've heard so far, that hasn't really been happening. And so it doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence to say to you guys that this deal is going to get done. Now, it takes one phone call and this could all change. But as of right now, there's really been no discussion, real solid discussion between the two sides on this contract deadline. And so with that being said, I don't believe it's going to get done.
Should the Monday deadline come and pass and there is no contract in place for Russell Wilson, do you think there's going to be any consequences that the Seahawks are going to have to suffer through?
Well, I think there are consequences to it. I think, one, Russell has said that he's going to cease all contract negotiations with the Seahawks for the rest of the season and not going to talk about it until after the season. And so the consequences of that is there's going to be other deals that get done from this time frame. And so Russell's price is only going to go up and up and up. I mean, truly, I've studied this situation very heavily over the past 2 weeks. Looked at all the other quarterback contracts and deals, the market and everything, and this is the cheapest that you're going to get Russell Wilson. Russell's, you know, basically asking around $35 million per year. Is asking for, you know, guarantees anywhere from, you know, Matt Ryan's contract, which is kind of the floor, and Kirk Cousins being the ceiling of 100% guarantees. Now, obviously, every player since Kirk Cousins is going to try and push for 100% guarantees. That's the new want and desire for players. Now, if you're going to get a multi-year deal, it's probably not going to happen. Kirk Cousins was able to get a three-year deal fully guaranteed, but if you're getting a 4, 5, 6-year deal, then you're not going to get that fully guaranteed. But Matt Ryan was able to get about 63% of his contract guaranteed out of $150 million. So a pretty dang good chunk there. And so that's really what it comes down to, is it comes down to the guaranteed money, which I think both sides are not close on as of right now, simply because the Seahawks don't typically do business that way when it comes to the guaranteed money side of things. So it sounds, and trust me, it's a lot of money, and it sounds like a lot, but this is the quarterback market. Every year when you have a guy that you deem is going to be the difference maker in your franchise, those guys kind of set the market. Look at Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily the right thing, because Jimmy Garoppolo has made almost $70 million, and there's really not a whole lot to show for it. But we're not talking about Jimmy Garoppolo here.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Russell Wilson, the winningest quarterback in NFL history in his first 7 seasons. So you're talking about a different caliber player that's done a lot and is starting to really take off in his career right now at 30, 31. So it's an interesting situation, and one that's very, very unique. All other NFL organizations, when their elite franchise quarterback has come to the table in terms of contracts, it's been an open discussion. So it's a very interesting situation, and it makes you wonder if this deadline goes and passes, is Russell Wilson going to be here in the long term?
If Russell Wilson wanted to make this power move, I don't think anyone blames him. And in fact, it's power to him. But in the bigger picture, April seems like a really insignificant part of the NFL calendar. Do we know why April 15th was the date that Russell Wilson chose as this particular deadline?
Well, the main reason for it was that OTAs begin on April 15th. And so for him, he wanted to get these contract negotiations over with by the time they started their offseason. And so he wanted to be locked in and focused and not worried about contracts, because last time contract negotiations happened, it went all the way to the end of July, and there was a lot of speculation. There was a lot of stress, and Russell didn't enjoy that last time. So this isn't something that Russell just gave this group or gave the Seahawks, 2 weeks notice. They've told them since the beginning of January, or sorry, at the end of January, of this deadline. So the Seahawks have been well aware of this for a couple months now, and so they've had ample time to figure it out. And I think this is also Russell's way of checking the pulse of where the Seahawks are at. Do you want to keep me? Do you want to give me a contract extension? And so it's kind of, a way to kind of see what the Seahawks' hands are. Do they want to keep him, or are they looking to move on from him later down the line?
We're talking Seahawks quarterback situation with Russell Wilson, with Jake Heaps, former NFL quarterback, currently with 710 ESPN in Seattle. My biggest question here comes down to, you're not spending a ton of money on your roster this year. I mean, you are spending, but they're not going to be capped out given how they've approached free agency. They're not making big deals to add players into this group. So if you're not spending all your money now, and you can roll over cap space, that makes a lot of sense. You want to have flexibility for the future. But why not take care of your quarterback? And if you're not putting your team in a position to be a true NFL, Super Bowl contender, I can see from Russell's perspective saying, well, at least pay me now then if you're not going to be all in on this season.
Yeah, absolutely. It's and I think for him, obviously, he wants to get paid. He wants to get paid fair market value, but his contract isn't trying to it's going to set the market in terms of he's going to be the highest in average annual salary and guaranteed money. That's what he's after. But it's not going to be such a significant that he's going to completely change the game in how it's done. Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins did that. Aaron Rodgers' contract was just to say that he was the highest paid, out of respect that Green Bay had for him. Kind of the same thing that Russell's looking for. He's not looking for an astronomical new deal that probably Patrick Mahomes is going to get. It's just, hey, pay me fair market value, so you can say that I was number one at one point in time, and that's going to quickly get passed up eventually, and that's just how the quarterback market goes. And you have to understand that now this contract is going to seem astronomical, but in a few years now, the cap space is going to go up and up and up. You've got, gambling that's going to eventually come in into the NFL, which will raise the cap space, and new TV rights deals that are also going to be coming in the near future. So, and also with the CBA coming in 2020, you just don't know afterwards what the players are going to be able to get in terms of guaranteed money. So, it's a fascinating time, but to sit here and say that the Seahawks, well, they've got control, they've got rights to him for the next 3 years, they do, but it's not as simple as that. You got the franchise tagging a player means that you cannot move that person's that annual salary from the cap space. So this year would be a $30 million cap hit. The next year, from 1 year from now, it'd be a $30 million cap hit. And then the following year would be a $36 million cap hit. When you sign a multi-year deal, you can move around the money and finagle it a little bit to where it's better to that cap space from year to year. Whereas when you franchise tag a player, that's a direct cap hit for that season. And what you're seeing from Frank Clark this year, potentially at $17 million, it definitely hindered the way the Seahawks could do business in the free agency game because of that direct $17 million cap hit. So it's going to be an interesting one to watch, I'll tell you.
Well, it is. And the other side that I'm very intrigued by is, instead of making sure that you have Russell Wilson trying to be hero on third down at all times, do they need to evolve that offense a bit to give him more reps to do the incredible things he does, as opposed to always relying on him on third down to play the hero?
Yeah, it's a funny question. I believe that the Seahawks have been able to establish their identity, and I like their identity. I think that when you look at it, the NFL, despite what everybody's saying, running the ball is still very, very effective and key to winning football games. Give you an interesting stat here. The top 10 teams in rushing attempts this season, 8 out of the 10 made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks were significantly higher at number one than everybody else, but still, 8 out of the 10 teams made the playoffs. So it is a great strategy, and you have the best, arguably the best play-action pass quarterback in the NFL from what Russell's been able to do the last three seasons, honestly. And so it's a very nice formula. But I do believe that they do need to give a few more attempts to Russell here and there, get, you know, around five more attempts each game if possible. And the biggest thing, I think, more than anything else, is adaptability. Going from one game to the next, being able to morph and change, just like in the Carolina Panther game last season when they weren't able to run the football. They were stuffed, but they put the ball in Russell's hands and gave him around 35 attempts, and they came out on top, and Russell played great. You go to the Dallas Cowboys game, and they were not able to run the ball effectively, and they did not put it in Russell's hands and did not recognize to put it in Russell's hands quick enough. And so you look at those two drastic differences, especially in the playoffs, and you're going, man, you've got a top five quarterback. You got to give him the opportunities to help you win football games. And so the adaptability, I think, is more key than necessarily saying he needs five more attempts or 10 more attempts a game. It's the willingness to change and evolve going into each game instead of saying we are going to run the ball and we're going to run it, you know, 30 to 35 times every single game, no matter what.
Sportsnet 650.